I think you probably already found it, but that twinkle in the eye, you know, he really does have a perfect zest for life, still.
I believe. Whatever he tackles.
If he went into a logging camp in the early political days, even before the political days, I remember going up when he was GOC, Chief Pacific Command, going up some logging camp up around Lurk Bay, I think, and he was very interested in logging and the people involved, and he had to. He wouldn't be at all reticent in talking to them in their own language, which wasn't exactly drawing room language. Shocked the daylight out of me because I'd never heard him use coarse language at home at all, but he was able to throw a bit around without any reticence at all in those.
I would say the biggest disappointment he ever had in his life, and I'd like to hear your opinion on this, was when he did not get command of the Corps over in England and came back to the Pacific. I think he really wanted command of that Canadian Corps, the first Canadian Corps.
Well, I would be amazed if he hadn't. That would amaze me if he hadn't wanted that. I'm sure any soldier with the background that he had I don't know anything about, you know, rights or wrongs, whether he was the one to have it or not. Who, Kerr got it. He had it, he was acting in that capacity, I believe, for a short time before Kerr arrived.
That's
you
right.
Know?
Yeah.
Then he came back. Whether it was a real threat, the Japanese threat at that time, I don't know. But it was certainly the impression that I have is that there was a real concern about the Pacific.
Yeah.
Not so much Attu and Kiska and the Aleutians, but Estevan had been shelled. Yeah. That type of thing, and
but still, you see, when he did come back, it was September 1942, and the big flap out here, of course, was in the December, January, February, March of 42.
When was Midway?
I'm not sure.
I think you'd have to sort of look at it from the standpoint of when the turning Midway was really the turning point of the battle of the Pacific, South Pacific, wasn't it? Whether the decision for him to come back was made before or after that, I'm unable to recall, but I've always had the impression anyway that there was a, he wasn't being, so to speak, jumped over for that, but
I
wanted somebody back here who had the training background.
Well, there's one or two things that came up. One, of course, and this is something I'll have to verify, I've written away to one or two people, was that he was against the DF raid.
Yes.
Kerr was for it.
Oh, is that it?
The DF raid went in.
Yeah.
And it was a schmozzle.
Yeah.
10 days later, either 10 days or 2 weeks later, your father was on his way home.
Oh, well, that may very well have been the case. I do recall that he was against it, and well, it wasn't 10 days after that raid.
Very, very shortly.
I can remember that raid. I was in bed with some child disease near in the south of England, and I can remember the transport going down the road to the sea and coming back with the wounded, and the airplane was going over all day long. We were right across the channel from it at the time. No, I'm sure that was a great disappointment to him. It would have to have been. But he was so adaptable that the challenge here grew to be, I considered a very serious challenge. I don't recall clippings or anything from a paper. You probably researched it to in his coming back here. I seem to recall he broke some, at least the plane broke some transatlantic on Queen Elizabeth. But the press, local press at that time, and I think I'm going from having gone through scrap albums, strikes me that sort of a hero's welcome.
He was
coming
back
here to take over at GNCS. CNC, man, I think that it was. I don't think there was any questioning at that time in the press that I can recall.
No, I don't think there was.
As to why he didn't get Carr. Crerar was not. Was he not his senior?
He may have been senior by a very little bit. But the thing is that until he took over the Corps, Crerar hadn't had a field command since 1918.
Oh, is that right?
You see, Crerar had nothing that your father hadn't had. Your father had gone to Staff College, Kimberley, the Senior Officers' School, the Imperial Defense College. He had command of a district. He was the DMT and all that. But Crerar, from the time the war broke out until he took over at the Corps in late 42,
had been in Ottawa the whole time.
Well, he'd been in Ottawa, and then he'd been at CMHQ, and then he went back to be vice chief of the general staff and all that. But he had never, commanded a brigade, he had never commanded a division or anything of that nature. And this is what confounds me. So I think it was in no small part a political decision. And I think, too, that your father may have run afoul of Montgomery, possibly because he and Monty were a little bit too much alike. Possibly. I don't know. But Monty was very much the man that you could go in the room, and if he spotted you, and for some reason or other he didn't like your face, that was just too bad, you know.
Well, I mean, I can't tell you anything.
No, this is...
I can't tell you, but I do recall him, my father, saying to me something about the choice of COs. I think there must have been some incident where Montgomery had a surprise visit to the division or something and confronted one CO who knew exactly what everyone was doing and that particular day, and consulted another CO who immediately had to call upon his 2IC, and his 2IC, of course, knew everything, and so they went down. Well, I know that, I think that on that occasion, the latter CO was ordered home, and I think very much over my father's
directions,
because my father felt that, a man, he really knew his regiment and had everything down pat, and this man would follow him through hell and high water, whereas the other one, had to control everything too much, and there wasn't the same leadership at all. However, I don't know that they may have come into that close contact. I really don't know, but I believe a fairly close, not close, but there has been a friendship there. I would think, just from impressions I received, that it would be more likely not. I could be wrong.
Oddly enough, no.
No?
No. Oddly enough. Now, Norton, of course, he comes into it later. But at this particular point, McNaughton had given your father to understand that he would have the Corps. But of course, the selection of a Corps commander is almost as much a political as it is a military thing. In other words, Macnaughton may have recommended your father, but the political side of it, I gather from your father that Kerr was closer to the liberal group in power at the time.
Well, that might very well be, and then he'd been a CNHQ, as you say.
And then not was before that.
No, it is, I agree, I think it's rather surprising that we hadn't, that he didn't get the core, but I'm afraid I can't throw any light on that.
There's one chap in town, incidentally, I've been trying to get, I've written two letters of when I was here, the, I phoned him yesterday, I phoned him twice today, I can't get hold of him, and he was on your father's staff, he's Robertson, A.K. Robertson, I think it is, Lieutenant Colonel Robertson.
Oh, yeah, and Dougie Robertson.
D.K., that's right.
Well, I'm going to, more easily, he's the office manager, Clark Wilson. Law firm here. General Clark.
Well, I'll get him then through. I'll write to him through through General Clark. I know him quite well, too.
Sure. Well, that's where you'll find him. He lives over in West Vancouver.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, I'll write to, I'll write directly to the office.
684-6521.
But I know that Robertson, people like Robertson, Keller, and one or two others were quite close.
Oh, yeah. Well, Keller's dead, of course.
Yeah. That's a really
Dick Danby.
Danby's another, yes. I found out his address, and we're okay there. He's in town. He's retired here now. Yeah.
Dick Danby has retired here now?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But I have his address. It's 4121 Crown Crescent.
Palm?
No, Crown.
Crown.
Wherever that is, I'm not too terribly sure.
Well, he was the ABC that I was telling you about with the firing atomic gun.
Oh, yeah. I only have a couple more minutes before I have to knit, but I thought in the last 2 or 3 minutes, I might get you, once you come back. Now you come back to Vancouver, presumably.
Victoria. I believe that the command was based initially at Esquimalt.
That's right.
I stayed with my grandparents and boarded for a very brief time at St. Michael's. One term, I think. So I would assume that practically as soon as he got back here, he transferred the headquarters to Vancouver. And then I was brought over and put into University Hill School of UBC, and we lived in a beautiful establishment in the corner of Black and Drummond Drive. Pool table in the basement and everything. Oh, it's a gorgeous place, young one, place. They rented. They rented. And subsequently, they bought a house on 4th Avenue, which was practically in the same place but further up the hill.
Yeah.
Drummond would be about comparable to 1st or 2nd Avenue. 4th Avenue was the same distance. And he used to regularly walk up and down the hill to the headquarters. And, I was at that school for, I think, maybe 2 years, a year and a half. Then I went to Shawnigan. Now, I went to Shawnigan.
Why did you go?
Well, I can't remember whether it was because there were so many girls in the class at University Hill School. I think that was my reason for being willing to go, perhaps. And the real reason that I went, I suspect, was that the future looked somewhat uncertain as to what my father would be doing, because that was the year that he was on.
The year that you went to Shawnee?
Yeah.
That'd be...
45.
Right.
I suspect that... I have to ask them, but I suspect that I thought I better go to boarding school until they were relocated if he was going to leave the services. Now, I don't know which decision came first, but I suspect that it was in connection with that. That move, but not knowing what the future would hold, they felt that boarding school would be okay.
Well, then, shortly after he resigned, of course, he becomes a member of Parliament.
Yes, well, then, of course, I...
Were you off to what? No, I forget.
No,
I shouldn't
no, 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 he lived in a motel. We had a house, Thomas Hall, but they'd rented it, and the wartime rental regulations prevented them from getting occupancy. I can remember the only time they were involved with lawyers, I think, they endeavored to get the house, but they couldn't, so they took a motel unit. They launched his campaign from the San Sebastian Motel, one bedroom and living room with a closet. It was an old house. And it was sort of glass doors separating the bedroom from the living room, as I recall. I was at boarding school. Then they bought Brentwood, a second house, in effect. A house at Brentwood.
That's right, yeah.
So they still had Tattersall, but they acquired this other house because they couldn't get into Tattersall. My memory is now on fairly firm ground.
Yeah, and then I'm going to need another tape for this, for the political side, which...
Things were pretty hectic up until that time. It was a terribly exciting childhood. I saw an amazing amount of my father in view of the circumstances. This about sums it up as I can recall. I was probably terribly spoiled as a boy. It certainly sounds like it going back in retrospect, and I'm sure I was terribly indulged.
It'd be a damn interesting childhood, I must say.
Oh, it was a very exciting, constantly on the move. I got, I'd just make long, close friendships. Great chums, and away we'd go. And of course, the chums have all gone. I very seldom run across any nowadays. But
that's good. I think we'll end it right about there.